and we headed back to the marina. Chapter 14. We spent the boat ride back stripping ourselves out of the suits Veda had made for us. By the time we'd parked the boat, covered it, and made our way back into Veda's apartment, we were emotionally exhausted. We piled the suits in a large bin that Veda promptly sprayed with something before she closed it up tight. "You never know what is on the outside of those suits," she said, putting her mystical spray bottle away. Each of us found a chair, lounger, or carpet to fall onto. We spent a few minutes catching our breath and regulating our heartbeats before sitting up to look at what we'd collected from the ship. Veda made quick work of laying all the sample bags out on a small tarp in the middle of the living room. She passed out a thick pair of rubber gloves to each of us. "Again, we don't know what's on those bags," she warned, "or what's inside them."
"I don't see the need to open most of them, really," Delaney said hesitantly. "I mean, that one is simply full of dirt."
"You're right, for the most part," Veda said. "There are a few, however, that I'd like to look at." I scooted forward on my lounger after putting my gloves on. "I want to see whatever the hell that thing was I pulled out of the corner of the captain's booth." Veda picked up the item and held it out to me. She handed me a large soft brush to dust it off with. I got down on the floor, just at the edge of the tarp, and started cleaning the artifact. It didn't take long before everyone was watching me. As I continued to brush off the dust and grime, it became clear that whatever the thing was, it wasn't normal. It was in the shape of a feather, but there was a sheen to it, almost as bright as a good furniture polish. Underneath the sheen, it was bright red. Once clean, I held it up so the others could see it better.
"Is it my imagination, or does this look like a cross between a very hard feather and some sort of scale?" I asked, trying to recall if I'd ever seen something similar.
"I'd say more scale than feather." Veda took it and examined it closely. Freya moved closer to Delaney. "Is the whole thing hard, or is the top more flexible? The top just looks more like a feather. I thought maybe it would be softer there." Veda poked around the scale feather and shook her head. "Nope, the whole thing is hard. I can't tell what it is made of, though." I took the artifact from Veda and flipped it over in my hands a few times.
"Should we break it to see what it is? We could tell if we could see the inside, shouldn't we?"
Veda shook her head like she was scolding a toddler.
"Absolutely not! It doesn't feel like it is just a carving. It's possible that it is an actual animal body part. If that is the case, it could put off gas or have liquid inside. You never know. We should take it to Benny and see if he knows what it is. He knows more about animals of the sea than anyone on the island, even me."
"What time does he get in tomorrow?" I asked, pouting that I had to wait to learn more.
"We can take it to him now," Veda said, as though I should know. "He never leaves before midnight."
I hopped out of my lounger as the girls got up.
"No time like the present."
Since Veda's apartment was on the back side of the dive shop, our walk over to see Benny only took about 3 minutes. Before we entered the dive shop, Sophie stopped us.
"There's just something odd that I can't understand," she said pensively.
"What?" Freya asked, looking at the shop door behind her.
"The whispering on the ship," Sophie started. "It was so disturbing. And yet the people, other than looking crazed and running at us, didn't seem to be upset or sad."
"Sophie," I began gently, "are you forgetting that the rest of us can't hear what you can?" Sophie looked at me, and realization lit up her eyes.
"Oh my, yes, sorry. They were all talking about the worst things that could happen."
"Like bad experiences?" I asked.
"Yeah, but all from their childhoods. They were whispering about the horrors of their childhoods. Now, I know people from pretty messed up backgrounds, but to have so many of them in a room, all having seen horrors as children, it's not natural."
Sophie's brow wrinkled as she stared off into the night, thinking.
"You're sure that's what they were talking about?"
I needed to double check, although I was sure of what her answer would be.
"No doubt about it. It took a while to hear. It was only after you opened the door to the dining hall and I only heard a few sentences worth, but it was definitely disturbing, she tried to explain further.
All right, well, we will see if any of the passengers that got off the ship were talking like that, I assured her. Veda crossed her arms and rubbed her chin like you'd expect an older gentleman to do while pondering deep thoughts.
Didn't Tina Hoosier say that the girl who died in her shop was mumbling something to herself?
I think so, Freya answered her. You think she could have been mumbling about a horrible childhood while in public? That's a little odd.
Veda looked at Freya and chuckled.
I think we can check off odd as our new normal right now.
The five of us laughed as we entered the dive shop finally and went straight to a small office in the back. A soft yellow glow from the doorway confirmed that Veda was right and Benny was still there. She knocked lightly on the door before we all walked in. Benny Dutch, a wiry, thin, older gentleman, looked up from his desk. He had shaggy black hair, peppered with silver and white, that fell into his eyes.
Veda, what are you doing here?
Hi, Benny, she greeted him. We found something and wanted to show it to you. I'm hoping you know something about it.
Benny's interest was piqued. He was a scientist by trade, and the only reason he owned a dive shop was to keep the lights on. He'd had to put his research days aside to accommodate tourism taking over the island.
Let me see what you've got.
Veda took the artifact from me and laid it on Benny's desk.
I don't know what it's made of. It's not like any feather or scale that I have ever seen. Can you tell what or where it came from?
Benny picked up the shiny red object and slowly turned it in his hands.
This is interesting, he muttered. Where did you find it?
The girls and I looked at each other. Veda waited for us all to shrug our approval before telling him.
We got it from the ship in the harbor.
Benny looked up at her, his bushy black brow raised.
The weird one.
Yep, that one, she answered.
I don't know why I expected less, Benny chuckled. That would explain why it smells like shit.
We were in there long enough. I think we became immune to the smell, Veda replied.
Well, you may want to go shower, because the rest of us are not accustomed to it at all, Benny told her, glancing at each of us.
None of us had thought to shower before going out again. So, what do you think? Veda asked him. Do you know what it is?
Well, no, Benny started. There are plenty of native and domestic birds with this type of feather pattern. There are also several snakes and lizards with a scale this shape, but none this large usually. I'd go with the scale idea, though. No feather is that stiff.
I edged up alongside Veda.
Do you know what animal a scale like that, even if much smaller, came from?
Benny looked at me as if I shouldn't have dared join the conversation, but then his face softened.
I don't, and that's saying a lot. The one thing I do know, however, is that a lot of people, especially those traveling, are weird about their pets. They take them wherever they go and treat them like royalty. If I had to guess, I'd say you might have found a scale from some passenger's exotic lizard of some sort.
Wouldn't the lizard have to be huge, though? Delaney piped up.
It would definitely have to be good-sized, Benny answered. Some have scales that cover more real estate on their bodies than others, though. I think, if anything, this would be a captive-bred hybrid. I don't know how it would have been snuck onto a cruise liner, however.
Veda put her hand up to her chin in thought, and then she asked,
Would we be able to test it somehow to get a better idea?
Well, the first thing to do is make certain it's an actual scale, Benny told her. That's easy enough.
How do we...
A loud cracking interrupted Veda as Benny snapped the scale in half.
But the off-gassing! She hollered.
Nah, nothing to worry about, Benny laughed. Now, if there had been liquid inside, we might have had an issue, but as you can see, no liquid.
He held the two pieces of the scale up in the air for us to see. The inside edges where he'd broken it were a yellowish-white color and completely solid.
Who do we take it to in order to have it tested? I asked, knowing that we couldn't take the sample to Irving for help from the police department.
Sophie stepped up to Benny's desk.
I know a woman. I'm sure she'd be happy to help.
Benny cocked his head to look at her.
You know a geneticist?
Yes. Why do you look so surprised? She chuckled.
Well, ma'am, I don't really know you, but I'd always gotten the impression that you're just a pretty face who likes to be around smart people like my Veda here,
he replied, somehow not coming across as rude as his statement actually was. I'd forgotten that Benny hadn't met Sophie in her human form, and therefore would question her intelligence. Plus, Benny was an older gentleman, and obviously in the years of his life where he couldn't waste two shits caring about whether he was polite or not.
Looks can be deceiving, Sophie smiled, not offended at all. There are days when I'm a complete dog, believe it or not.
Sophie's own pun on her shape-shifting abilities would have had the other girls and me in stitches if we didn't need to keep Benny in the dark about it.
Okay, Benny said, nodding slowly. A geneticist would be the way to go.
He got up from his desk, opened a nearby cabinet, and pulled out a large plastic bag. He placed the two parts of the scale inside and handed it to Veda.
Thank you for taking a look, Veda told him. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, he replied. Is there anything else? I still have some logs to fill out before calling it a night.
Nope, that's it, Veda replied, already headed for the door.
The rest of us followed her out, feeling the lack of need for the stereotypical goodbye. Once we were back on the dock and made sure nobody else was around, Freya put her hand on her chin and wrinkled her brow.
What is it?
I asked, recognizing her look as one that usually resulted in a worthwhile revelation or question.
Benny said he didn't know how a lizard or pet of that size could have been snuck onto the ship, she replied.
Yeah, and? I prodded.
So, what if it hadn't? She asked. Snuck onto the ship, I mean.
Delaney put her hand on her hip and looked at Freya.
Well, I think the fact that we found that scale, or feather, or whatever it is on the ship, I'd say it would have had to be snuck on, wouldn't it?
No. I mean, yes, but no, Freya replied, shaking her head.
Sense, Freya! Make sense already! Sophie piped up.
Freya stared at Sophie.
What if the thing that scale belongs to wasn't that big when it was snuck onto the ship?
Veda's eyes went wide.
That ship is old, that much is clear. But you're right. We have no idea who has been on it, nor for how long.
How is she right?
Delaney asked, confused. Veda turned to her.
I think what Freya is saying is that whatever animal we are looking for could have been a much younger version of itself when it boarded the ship.
It took a moment for Delaney to fully register what Veda had told her. Then a light sparked in her eyes, and she looked across the harbor at the mystery ship.
My God, how long has that thing been out to sea?
A sinking sense of being more in the dark than where we'd started the evening fell over us. I took Delaney and Sophie by the hand. Let's get some rest. Sophie can call her geneticist in the morning, and we can get back to trying to figure out where that ship came from. Delaney, you have the print from the button in the captain's booth, right?
Yes, but we can't take it to Irving, she replied.
Veda smiled and wiggled her shoulders a little.
Sophie's not the only one with friends in scientific places. I know someone who can run the print for us.
The girls busted out in giggles at how jealous yet proud Veda had made herself sound. Sophie let go of my hand and put her arm around Veda's shoulders.
We should pool our network of resources, Sophie enthused. We'd be unstoppable and have no use for Irving at all. Now, let's get out of here. It's creepy being as dark as it is tonight.
The five of us left the dock, mulling over the new information we'd gathered, as well as the plethora of questions that arose from it. Once again, our patience was being tested more than ever before.